boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The sounds now of an American holiday. Labor Day being observed in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Plenty of people vocal about labor conditions in America.
Well, we need to continue to make a living wage and have health insurance and have a pension. And those are the most important things to working families.
The president staking out Labor Day political turf.
The unemployment rate is 4.7%. That's a good sign. If you're somebody looking for a job, it means people are working here in the United States.
I'm Peter Mayer in Washington. This traditional campaign kickoff day is also the start of a stepped-up debate on economic policy. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says union members reject Republican claims of economic progress.
They're not seeing real benefits. They're seeing real decline and real struggle.
Labor hopes to harness that stand in a voter turnout plan focused on winning Democratic control of Congress. Republicans have their own Get Out the Vote campaign aimed at mobilizing the GOP base. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
Six more members of the U.S. military killed in Iraq since yesterday. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland concedes it's unusual for so many deaths in separate incidents.
Obviously, this is a bit high. I think it's attributable to expanded operations, perhaps to some expanded level of violence. How long that will be remains to be seen.
The bodies of 33 Iraqi men discovered in Baghdad today, all of them tortured, blindfolded. UN Chief Kofi Annan says that Israel and Hezbollah are agreeing now to talk about the release of two abducted Israeli soldiers. Israel had previously refused such contacts. He made a living putting himself in danger, handling snakes and crocodiles, and now he is dead. Entertainer, conservationist Steve Irwin being mourned by animal lovers around the planet.
He was an amazing man and incredibly important for conservation. A whole generation of kids have grown up with him, and they love reptiles, they love snakes.
That's fellow documentarian Nigel Marvin. Irwin was filming an underwater documentary, snorkeling over a group of stingrays when one of them suddenly struck, plunging an 8-inch-long stinger right into Irwin's heart. It's 20% contained. That means it's 80% not contained, the fire that's roaring across Montana. It's anything but.
We are looking today to get east winds on the fire, which unfortunately will push it to the west. We have alerted homeowners on that western side to be prepared just in case they need to move out of the area.
Rose Davis with the National Interagency Fire Center. Wildfires in Nevada destroying so much habitat, there's an effort underway to corral hundreds of wild antelope and relocate them before winter hits. They're back on the practice field in Durham, North Carolina. Here's CBS's Jim Krasula.
The Duke men's lacrosse team returned to practice 5 months after its spring season was canceled, following allegations a woman was raped during a team party. Three players were charged, one of whom graduated back in May. With a new coach and captain, players say they want to put the scandal behind them, determined to win a national championship.
This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
In Britain, it's a nanny controversy.
The Mary Poppins of the world should start worrying if a British survey of nanny-using families can be believed. It seems mannies are the latest rage. 94% said they'd be happy to hire a man for the child care job. The agency that commissioned the poll said moms don't want dads tempted by pretty young nannies, that female insecurity and jealousy were key factors. And since just 4% of nannies are men, they're in big demand. And that's... Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Now talk about extra innings. The baseball game that started at 10 o'clock Saturday morning in Alliance, Nebraska, ended yesterday, 30 hours, 6 minutes later. They hope to have set a Guinness World Record. The currently recognized record is 25 hours, set in Canada nearly 3 years ago. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/getbonus or call 1-888-DISCOVER to learn more.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner-city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
The following program has been previously recorded.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor electric guitars and progressive politics. Coming up before the end of the program today, we're going to talk to the Democratic nominee for governor of California, Phil Angelides. This hour, we're going to spend with one of my favorite journalists, Robert Scheer, has been at it for a long time. So long, in fact, that he has had one-on-one interviews with every president since Richard Nixon, except for the current occupant of the White House. And those interviews have been republished in the book Playing President with a lengthy subtitle, My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. Robert Scheer's column, his weekly column, is syndicated by the San Francisco Chronicle, and he bought a printing press recently in the form of truthdig.com. Bob Scheer, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Where are you?
I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh.
At my secret studio, which we have recently upgraded, and we have hardened bunkers here to prevent interlopers. And where do we find you today, Bob Scheer?
I'm in Berkeley.
All right, great. Well, I want to talk about your book, Playing President. There's so many fascinating aspects of it. But first, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the current situation in the Middle East. Your most recent commentary reads, Israel's dependency on the drug of militarism. Talk a little bit about that concept and whether there's a 12-step program that we can develop.
Well, you know, the enablers of the Bush administration, that's the real problem here. And I think Israel's going to be, is already a big loser in this. I mean, the people, and I've got plenty of friends who tried to argue this, that somehow the neoconservatives were going to help Israel. And I think with friends like that, you don't need enemies. I mean, these guys have told the people in Israel, the leaders, go, give a green light. This is your chance. You don't do it now, you're not going to have another chance. And it's been an absolute disaster, in much the same way that Iraq is a disaster. And one of the great ironies in this is they claim they were going to, you know, make the Mideast safe from terrorists. You know, they were going to deny the terrorists a haven. And there, you know, in Iraq was the one place that Shiite militants, terrorists, whatever you want to call them, couldn't find a haven. And now you have a situation where Hezbollah has its main base of support in the Arab world in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And the Iraqi parliament unanimously condemned what they called Israeli aggression. The Iraqi leaders last week had a strong statement. It was a big demonstration, the biggest demonstration in the Arab world in support of Hezbollah has been in Baghdad.
Yeah, and that was remarkable given the security situation there.
Yeah.
Thousands of people felt comfortable to go out and protest in the streets.
Yeah, and, you know, they were sort of dismissed that they're the followers of Muqtada Sadr, so that doesn't mean anything, but he happens to represent the most important element in the coalition that we have put in charge of Iraq.
Well, and kind of like Hezbollah, he's got his own militia.
Yeah, and they're following a model that, you know, pretty much was fashioned in Iran, which we call the Rogue Nation, and we had backed Saddam Hussein against Iran, you know, during a decade of war, and now suddenly we have a situation where the disciples of the Ayatollahs in Iran are in power in Iraq, and this arc of their power extends from Lebanon to Baghdad to Tehran. It's really quite startling, and whatever else you think about the situation, it's pretty difficult to argue that this has somehow helped Israel.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute disaster, and that's why I use the drug analogy. I mean, sure, you know, you tell people now's the time, you can take out your enemy, you've got a green light, you know, we've given you the bombs, you got great technology, and go for it, and then you're up against this firestorm of you know, that's been ignited, really, by U.S. policy in the region.
Well, after all, Bob, this is a triumph of unilateralism and preemptive attacks.
Well, yeah, and basically, this is an administration that turned its back on the admittedly difficult process of making peace. No one ever said that's easy. And every president from Truman on out, you know, was committed to negotiating a peace and release. We've had progress in many ways. And then this administration came in and they just dropped the whole approach, just dropped it. And they had a different approach. They were just going to make new facts in the Mideast. They were going to overthrow regimes. They were going to, democracy was going to flower. And Iraqi oil, by the way, was going to pay for all of it. And I think prices of oil today are higher than they've ever been.
Well, and to use a coinage of the president, didn't they misunderestimate the real issue, which is the unresolved conflict between Israel and its neighbors? That's what is driving Osama bin Laden and most of the people who oppose the United States.
Well, I think there are many problems, and religious fanaticism on all sides. You know, Muslims are not the only ones who are fanatical. We have Christian fanatics, and it was, by the way, an Israeli fanatic who killed Yitzhak Rabin, the great peacemaker and former general. So we have religious forces welling up all over the place in a return to real primitivism, including in our own society, where Darwin is now a suspect figure. So we've played the religion card, and we thought, you know, we started, as my book, The Playing Precedent book, indicates, even with Jimmy Carter going into Afghanistan and making that a whole big thing and inviting all these freedom fighters to come there and take on the Soviets. So it's not new. It just was escalated by this administration. And ignoring nationalism. I mean, nationalism is an important force, and you just don't go in and occupy people. It produces the opposite result. The best occupiers you've ever had, I think maybe in human history, have been the Israelis, at least the way they started out. I was there at the time of at the end of the Six-Day War. I was both Egypt, and then I went over to Israel. I was in West Bank and Gaza, and the people who were doing the Israeli occupation were probably the most enlightened of occupiers. You know, people like Moshe Dayan, they knew Arabic. They knew the area. He was an archaeologist. He knew, you know, was very familiar. And they wanted to be good occupiers. 70% of the Israeli officers had come from the kibbutz movement. They were quite idealistic. They said, no, we're gonna go in and do it a different way, and democracy will spread and flower, and we'll get along. And it just doesn't work that way. People have to make their own history, and you have to be sensitive to their nationalism, their religion, their parochialism, their ethnic complexity. And all of that was ignored by the Israelis in holding on to that land. And the same thing they repeated when they went into Lebanon and had their 18-year experiment, which was a disaster. They're repeating it now in Palestine, where, you know, they wanted Hamas. Originally, Israel even favored Hamas over the PLO. And then you have an election, and these elections turn out because of nationalist and religious feelings to go against you. as they did in Lebanon, as they did in Palestine, as they did in Iraq. And so that doesn't turn out to be the answer. Oh, let's just have elections here. There's a limit to how you can manipulate those elections. And in the end, you're faced with the thing of how do you get along with people who have different attitudes, different culture, different religions than you do, and it's not easy. And it involves painstaking, patient work of the peacemaker. It is not aided. It is dramatically assaulted by military power. It doesn't work.
And let me quote the columnist Robert Scheer from your column last week. It is true that the Israeli withdrawals of the past half decade, nearly complete in the case of Lebanon and cynically minimal in the Palestinian territories, did not resolve all the disputes or stop all violence. Yet the abandonment of the peace process and the renewed reliance on bombs will prove far more costly for Israel. Long after Bush is gone from office, Israel will be threatened by a new generation of enemies whose political memory was decisively shaped by these horrible images emerging from Lebanon. At that point, Israelis attempting to make peace with those they must coexist with will recognize that with friends such as Bush and his neoconservative mentors, they would not lack for enemies.
Yeah, you know, there's no fun being right about these things. You know, since I wrote that column around last Wednesday, I'm sitting here, and the death toll mounts and the destruction and of everything, of infrastructure, of people's lives, the threat to Lebanon, the threat to Israel, the innocents on both sides of the border that are caught up in this. And I think, you know, the Israeli public at first supported it. Most people support these military adventures at first. I think there's now a recognition that it's not working, that it's a disaster. And I suspect, by the way, that the Israelis are going to be sold out by their neocon buddies. Because they really have got to end this. They have to have some kind of ceasefire, and if the Arab League has its way, the Israelis will be totally out of Lebanon, and so they won't have gained even a few miles, and they're going to do that because the Bush administration has larger plans for the Mideast, and those plans have been very seriously undermined by this.
Yeah. Robert Scheer, we're going to take a break and return. We're going to talk about your book, Playing President. Robert Scheer's had one-on-one interviews with every president since Richard Nixon, except the current guy in the White House. We'll talk about that legacy coming up next. If you have a question or comment, jump on the line now. He's with us this hour. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540 southbound Highway 1 at Fremont Street in Monterey. It's a stalled car blocking one of the lanes. That's southbound Highway 1 at Fremont Street, stalled out car. Northbound Highway 1 at Casa Verde Way, two-car crash. That would be clearing in the center divider. Hollister Highway 152 at Fifield Road, stalled car. That is blocking one of the lanes there as well. Watsonville Harkins slow at Highway 1. Solo car ran off the roadway and into a ditch. CHP in or out there. Freedom Buena Vista Drive at Monument. It's an accident on the right shoulder. A couple of cars involved. To access their extensive local network of highly skilled finance and accounting professionals, contact one of the 13 Bay Area offices. Visit accounttemps.com. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
I was hosting a late-night talk show in Chicago
at our convention
when Richard Nixon hit the wall. The Watergate wall.
The USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate. And Martha Mitchell says...
Martha Mitchell. She made my day more than once. Yes, I have to give credit to Tricky Dick Nixon because it was his demise that created my ascendance. I was a young man who was given a late-night talk show in Chicago just at the time that the Watergate hearings got underway, and it became our cause celeb. And so I tip my hat to Richard Nixon because, he really gave my career a big boost. And Robert Scheer is our guest this hour. In his book, Playing President, he tells the story of his post-Watergate encounters with Richard Nixon, who had retired to San Clemente and apparently was getting daily delivery of the Los Angeles Times, where Robert Scheer was writing at that time. Bob, tell us a little bit about your exchanges with Nixon.
Can I just correct your facts there?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
He was, when I interviewed him, he was in his office in New York, and he was living in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm
his
sorry.
Friends in California had evidently sent him my article, and it was interesting. I wrote it in 84, and I did a retrospective on Nixon, and I said, you know, because Reagan was president, and I wanted to look at, well, how does Nixon look now? And I went and got the whole record and everything, and decided, my goodness, compared to Reagan, Nixon was pretty enlightened. Well, compared to George W. Bush, Nixon was a flaming liberal. You know, he believed in a guaranteed annual income. Even our last Democratic president destroyed the welfare system and destroyed the federal obligation to poor people, Bill Clinton. So here was Richard Nixon, who had Patrick Moynihan on his staff and embraced the idea of guaranteeing a minimal income to every American. You know, mm-hmm. We're an affluent society, and no one should starve or be in the streets. And anyway, that now would be seen as, you know, some wild communist idea.
Right. He was the guy who signed the EPA into existence.
Right.
The first Earth Day occurred under his watch. The opening to China.
Well, the opening to China was a big deal. That's where the Cold War really comes apart. Because it was Richard Nixon who, you know, and he could only do it having been such a fierce red baiter in his day.
Right.
But Nixon, who, and he came across this idea. This is how I endeared myself to Nixon. A dubious claim, I know, to some of the people listening to this. But I researched it and concluded that Nixon had this idea of opening to China before he was president. He wrote an article in Foreign Affairs, and it was before he had actually met Kissinger. And that he developed this idea that communism was nationalist, and it was fragmented, it was complex, and there weren't two communist regimes in the world that were getting along with each other. You know, and they were shooting at each other across the, you know, the Russian communists and the Chinese communists were mm-hmm. shooting at each other across their border and everything. And the Vietnamese communists and the Chinese communists had 1,000 years of national animosity to base their, you know, estrangement on. And so Nixon figured out, hey, we'll just, you know, we'll do detente with the Soviets and we'll open to China and we'll create a new day for capitalism. And he was absolutely right. You know, the Chinese communists is interesting now that we fight this war on terror, and we don't really want to figure out who are these terrorists and how do they operate and what are their divisions. You know, we've got them all lumped together, the Sunnis and the Shiites and anyone in the world we don't like, they're just terrorists, you know, and whether they've been in elections or not, or whether they blow things up or what have you, you know, they're all the same. And it's like the old sort of Dr. No kind of image of a convenient enemy. And that was the international communist conspiracy and its timetable for the takeover of the world. And Nixon saw it was nonsense, and he made that opening. And what was the result? You know, yeah, we got people say you can't leave Iraq. What are the terrible things that will happen? Well, we left Vietnam under the most ignominious of circumstances. And what happened? The Vietnamese communists and the Chinese communists fight for, you know, shelf space at Walmart and Costco. You know, they're still communists, but they're they're out there producing everything from shirts to now cars and computers. And so Nixon understood that, and yet unfortunately, and that's why the book is called Playing President, you can't count on adults watching the store. You know, this guy's the worst, but the others haven't been any great bargain. And even though Nixon understood that the Vietnam War made no sense at all, he still got millions of people killed, including quite a few Americans, over it, escalating it, and dragged Cambodia into it with, you know, disastrous results for the Cambodian people. So he did that, and I'm not trying to absolve him mm-hmm. of it. But he did break the Cold War, because once you accepted that communism was nationalist, you couldn't just be fighting anyone anywhere in the world and saying that's a communist, because then you had to ask the question, well, which side are they on? And can you do business with them? And can you trade with them? And that's when it all fell apart.
And Nixon was very concerned about how history would treat him. When you talked to him about the secret bombing of Cambodia, was he defensive, or did he have what you felt was a rational explanation?
Well, you know, Nixon was only talking to me because he knew that he wasn't being judged kindly, and he wanted to present. He was happy to have a more complex view. I only got to interview Nixon after he read my articles, and I even have a blurb from Nixon on the back of the book thanking me for my objective coverage of his activities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very pleased, by the way, John Dean, who's the guy probably the guy I most respect among the writers now in the country on the presidency.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's got a better brain.
Worse than Watergate, his recent book.
Well, not only that, well, actually, he's got a new one out now on how the conservatives have been betrayed by Bush,
mm-hmm.
you know, and John Dean, who was only 30 years old when he told Nixon, you have a cancer on the presidency, and no one would have believed him. Historically, Dean would have been judged very harshly, but there were tapes, and it turned out Dean was right
mm-hmm. in
making that claim, and he's really the hero of Watergate. Anyway, recently, Dean wrote a review of about the Playing President book, and I was really thrilled that he liked the book and thought he had some real insight, because I thought, if there's anybody who had a right to be angry with Nixon,
mm-hmm.
John Dean,
yeah.
And my book, Nixon comes across better than Carter.
Yeah.
You know,
Bob, just about 30 seconds to our next break. Have you gone to that warehouse in Virginia to listen to the Watergate tapes?
Oh, yeah. No, I've got copies of the Watergate tapes, and I listen to them a lot. And, you know, it's funny. I worked on Oliver Stone's movie with my son Christopher. We wrote a chunk of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were attacked at the time for presenting too harsh a view of Nixon as a drunk and, you know, obscenity and anti-Semitic and everything. At that time, we only had a couple hundred hours of the tapes. Now, we know he was all of those things.
Very well put.
In space.
And next time you go to Washington, D.C., listeners, as a tourist, drop in. It's a warehouse in Virginia. You can listen to any tape that's available there. It's a fascinating look at our history. Robert Scheer will continue in just a moment. The book is called Playing President, and you're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate.
Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rolling Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rolling Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Journalist Robert Scheer, we're talking about his newly released in paperback book, Playing President, My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. As we mentioned, Robert Scheer is a syndicated columnist whose weekly rants are published by the San Francisco Chronicle and distributed to newspapers across the country. And he founded TruthDig.com over the last year. And this book is this your first on the TruthDig publishing imprint, Bob?
Published by Akashic, which is a great little publisher that did the five biggest lies Bush told us about Iraq, that
sure.
Son Christopher and Lakshmi Chaudhary did, and I helped them. It's a small publishing venture, but the book seems to be doing well, and so TruthDig is a party to that, but he basically brought the book out.
And full disclosure, are you the owner of TruthDig? Or
I'm a part owner, you know. A.J. Liebling once said, the freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one.
Mm-hmm.
And I own half of one, along with Sway Kaufman, my publisher, who used to work with me. And it's great. We've had, close to 4 million people now have visited us. And we get a pretty, people should check it out. There's a lot of good stuff on there, including, right now we have very good material on the Mideast. You know, Chris Hedges, who was the New York Times bureau chief, writes for us, and Gore Vidal, a lot of people. It's a good site.
It's an excellent site, and I try to drop in at least once a week. It's truthdig.com. So bookmark or favorite, whatever you like to call that, and drop on by. Now, take us to Plains, Georgia. In the early 1970s, it really...
How do you get the lust in your heart?
Well, we got to find out...
That's all you guys want is the lust part.
All right, but you didn't explain. You tell us this sequence that you went to a movie with Jimmy Carter, the Lenny movie, and somebody said, Gerald Rafshoon said, Mr. Governor, do they have oral sex in Plains? And he's quoted as saying, yeah, they don't call it that, but you don't tell us what they do call it in Plains. I mean, what did Billy Carter call it?
I don't know. I'm not going to get in trouble here. You know, I was on a show in San Diego, and a television show, and the station manager came up to me and was really angry after the show. And I had no idea what the FCC permits or doesn't permit.
Right.
And I said, my favorite bumper sticker these days, and now I can't say it because I don't want to get you in trouble. But
Would somebody please give the president a blowjob?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're allowed to say that. It's not on the list.
I know it's not on the list. Well, the station manager down there just went livid, and, oh, how can you do that? And this is a family station. I said, well, you teach the Clinton over this, here Bush has committed all these crimes. And so, I think that bumper sticker says a lot.
It sure does.
And but about Jimmy Carter, the good thing, when I interviewed him for Playboy, I was doing a profile. They only consented to the interview because he was running it. Everybody forgets that the first national politician in our modern history to wear the born-again Christian thing on his sleeve was Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And he was doing it to give himself cover because Democrats in the South were under attack because this whole family values, normal American garbage came in, really through Nixon. It was Nixon's Southern strategy. How do we split white voters away from the Democratic Party in the South? Well, we can't play the race card overtly because that will alienate what was still moderate Republicans. There used to be some of those around, particularly in the North.
Yeah.
So you can't be overtly racist. So you're going to talk about family values and normal Americans and good, God-fearing Americans and all that kind of stuff, So Jimmy Carter embraced that and said, hey, I'm one of them. I go to church all the time. I pray all the time. And he was going around campaigning about that, and Ben said, wait a minute, do you believe Scripture has literally reveals all truth, and are you going to impose this on Americans, and what about a separation of church and state? And so they then said, let's do the Playboy. They agreed to my request to do a Playboy interview,
mm-hmm.
just to set it straight with, Democratic voters, who were then quite concerned about Jimmy. And I think his answer on the lust thing and all that stuff was very, very good. I mean,
yeah.
He said, the reason he was saying that I've lusted is is because he was saying, you know, we all have these struggles, and we mm-hmm. have to figure out our relation to God and the deity and et cetera, and in a personal way. After all, that's what the Protestant religion is supposed to be about. You know, mm-hmm. listening to some priest to give you the truth. You got to struggle with these things. And he gave a very sensible answer to that. And I didn't think it was going to be the big scandal of the election that it was. I thought what he said when I asked him, aren't you really, I would have said then, but I didn't know it, aren't you a future Joe Lieberman? Aren't you, you know, one of these hawkish Democrats,
right.
you know, and because he was talking that way, and we mm-hmm. didn't have Scoop Jackson around. Yeah, everybody forgets, people like Pearl and Wolfstead, they come out of the Democratic Party. You know, they come out of the Scoop Jackson, you know, the Democratic
Senator
Party.
From Washington, yeah.
Yeah, they give you, well, he was a senator from Boeing, they used to call him. And, you know, they had this little, you know, after all, the Democrats gave us the Vietnam War, you know, and they were considered pretty militaristic. And so Carter was talking a lot like that. He'd been, you know, in the Navy, the nuclear submarines and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was asking about that. I said, you know, are you going to get us into another Vietnam? And he said, no. And I said, why not? Because he said, I wouldn't lie the way Lyndon Johnson did.
Right.
Well, that was real news, you know, Democrat. And by then he'd gotten the nomination. So here's the Democratic candidate saying, I'm not going to lie, like the previous Democratic president. And Lady Bird wouldn't meet with him when the plane landed in Dallas. I was there as a press person on a press plane. And she was furious, and I thought that was, you know, that would provoke a good discussion, and I mm-hmm. wish it had, because Jimmy Carter, as president, he's been a great ex-president,
yeah.
I'm not gonna question that, he's been the best ex-president we ever had,
mm-hmm.
but as president, I think he was he was a disaster.
Well, and let me ask you a couple of pointed questions,
sure.
because I really appreciated that Jimmy Carter tried to articulate a foreign policy based on human rights. I thought that was a major breakthrough, and then he embraced the Shah and allowed him to come to the U.S. for medical treatment. He embraced the Marcos regime and allowed Ferdinand Marcos to exile to the United States, both of which created complications. And he's the one who inserted U.S. covert forces in Afghanistan.
Well, they weren't so covert. I mean, what happened there was he got in trouble. You know, it's all very well and good to talk about human rights, and we should talk about it, but the point is that he was, they always make foreign policy a hostage domestic political issues. That's what always happens. They really don't care about the rest of the world. I don't care who they are. American presidents that, since Roosevelt, you know, Roosevelt's my last hero, the rest of them make foreign policy a hostage to domestic issues, and even Roosevelt did that for a while, but then he realized he was up against a big thing in the world called fascism, and he better get serious. And but you know, the trouble with Carter, he was in trouble because the Ayatollah come in and they were you know, the hostage crisis,
right.
And he didn't know what to do about it. And it's very revealing in my book, which is, by the way, more than interviews. You know, there's a lot of profiles and
a lot of columns, yeah.
You know, but stuff I've written recently. And when I went back to work on the book, I found an interview I'd done with Bob Dole in 1980. And Dole was going to make a run for the presidency. And Dole told me, I interviewed him for the LA Times. And he said, what's this whole Afghanistan thing about? The Russians have been there. They've always had influence there. And they've been there for 7-8 months. And why are they bringing that up now? They're bringing it up because they got the hostage. They're trying to take attention away from the hostage crisis and from the economy and everything else that's going wrong. And so suddenly they say, wait, we're in a new Cold War in Afghanistan, which was garbage, and we're not going to go to the Olympics. Remember the Moscow Olympics?
I do.
And we're
yeah.
going to back these freedom fighters there. And that's where the whole 9/11 thing starts.
Yeah.
This utter absurdity, you know, that we're you know, you have the secular guys in Kabul and they're trying to bring about some change. No, they're the bad guys, and the good guys are going to be these Muslim fanatics that we're going to rally around. Then of course Reagan has to take it up, to ratchet it up, and call them, have a Freedom Fighter Day and back them all away, and they get recruited from all over the world, and that's how Bin Laden ends up in Afghanistan. And so, you know, history, these actions have unintended consequences. You know, stuff that's going on right now in Iraq, you know, in Lebanon, is going to haunt us 30, 40, 50 years from now. You know, just like, why do we have problems with Iran? Because, you know, back in the Eisenhower administration, they make this idiotic decision to overthrow a guy named Mohammad Mossadegh,
right.
who was the last secular guy you ever had in Iran. So now we're haunted by that. You know?
And we plugged in the Shah. We're talking with Robert Scheer. The book is called Playing President, based on his face-to-face interviews with almost every sitting president since Nixon, except for George W. Bush. Next, let's talk about Ron.
I believe that if you can't say something nice, nice about a person, you shouldn't say anything at all.
Well, we can't. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ronnie, we're not going to be able to live up to that. So what were your impressions of Reagan when you met him?
Oh, I can live up to that. You know, I mean, I'm well-versed on Reagan's not only failures, but I consider his not dealing with the AIDS crisis criminal, and I'm very harsh on that. But I have plenty of nice things to say about Reagan. I got along with him quite well. I thought he was a much more complex, interesting person than the media ever appreciated. I even have a blurb on the back of my book from Nancy Reagan.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, and the reason is I wrote a piece about him, saying, you know, giving him some credit while he was still alive, because I think Reagan did do a very important thing in ending the Cold War, not in the way the Hawks describe. You know, he built up this military, and that was garbage. The Soviets never bought into the Star Wars thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They never did. And Gorbachev, when he arrived at Reykjavik, Iceland, you know, to meet with Reagan, he was prepared. He had already dealt with his own military people, say, okay, go have this Star Wars thing. It's a big boondoggle. You'll end up spending, what have we spent, at least $110 billion on it to fly. You know, and he just met with Reagan and said, look, you can't use these weapons. They don't work. They just destroy civilization. They're not usable, and they're incredibly dangerous. And Reagan looked this man in the eye and said, you're right. And he comes out of the room, and all these neocons who are out there, they're now called neocons. By the way, Cheney and Rumsfeld, you know, started with Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Their grievance with so-called liberals goes back to Nixon.
Right.
You know, so Reagan came out and he said, you know, this guy Gorbachev's got his head screwed on right, and, you know, and we got to make peace about this stuff and get rid of these weapons. Remember, Reagan endorsed the idea of getting rid of all of them. All of them.
That's right.
You know, and so I think, you know, Reagan does deserve a lot of credit. But it's interesting, in the Nixon interview I did, Nixon told me, that was 84, he said, Ronald Reagan is not, and these are the words he used, he's not a right-wing kook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting. First of all, for Nixon to use those words, you won't have a Republican using such words now because they are right-wing kooks. But Nixon understood that the menace from the right wing of his party had actually been there. He understood, you know, how dangerous that could be. And he said, no, Reagan is not that way. And Nancy Reagan understood that. Nancy Reagan was the one who got rid of Pat Buchanan. She's the one who got rid of Don Regan. She was the one who told Ronnie it was a good thing to reach out to the Russians and to the Chinese. And so
that was after she talked to her astrologist.
Yeah, well, I make the point. I'm a big Nancy Reagan defender because the attacks on Nancy Reagan really came from the right wing, from the neocons. And Nancy, even though her father had been very conservative, she understood there were right-wing kooks, and she didn't want Ronnie destroyed by them. And all of the decisions that her detractors attribute to astrologers were good decisions. And I wrote a piece at the time about that. I said, my goodness, you know, supposedly an astrologer told her it's good for Ronnie to get along with the Chinese and it's good to get rid of Pat Buchanan. Well, maybe more presidents should consult astrologers.
Joan Quigley was her name, the astrologer in San Francisco.
Yeah, a very sensible woman, evidently. And, you know, so
I'm not sold on that, Bob.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, I don't want to whitewash anybody, you know, whether it's Clinton or Carter, that's not my job here, but I don't want to miss a point here that I am very alarmed by the current president. And when I say these other guys didn't prepare me for what they all had in common is that they were there. That there was a person there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I observed George W. Bush during his father's campaign. I had contact with him, and I saw him in operation. The fact is, he turned his back on his father. He turned his back on the people around his father who knew something, Baker and Brent Scofield and those people.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is, as I say in the book, the first perfectly electronically transmitted president. There is no there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've gone through a process of demeaning the presidency, and suddenly you end up with a guy who just really is not aware that he's president. You know, and that was not true of these other people. They had lived real lives. I mean, Reagan was born in a depression. His father was, you know, thrown out of work. He worked for the New Deal. Reagan, you know, he'd come up the hard way. He you know, whatever he was, he'd done on his own. And, you know, he'd been a radio announcer like you.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how hard that can be.
Yes, I do. All right, Bob, we got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment. But first, this from Nancy.
Not old age. He's got a mind like a computer, like a steel trap. He can remember facts and figures that I have long since forgotten.
And everybody else has, too.
That's Nancy Reagan defending Ronnie. Pre-Alzheimer's is about 1989. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll grab some calls, too, if you'd like to talk with Robert Scheer about the presidents he's known. Grab a line now. 1-888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with Traffic on KRXA, and it's brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Clean your engine and improve gas mileage with Tecron Fuel Injector Cleaner. Now at Napa, when you buy one bottle, get a second bottle free after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff. We'll start with a problem. Bromer at El Dorado Road in Santa Cruz. Soquel at Chantelisser Road in Santa Cruz. We have a stall blocking some lanes there. Back down to Twin Lakes 7th at Eaton. It's an accident clearing out of lanes. And eastbound 68 at Laguna Seca. Accident reportedly clearing from lanes as well. Preparation H Cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're talking with the journalist once described by Hillary Rodham Clinton as her favorite columnist. Robert Scheer is our guest. You've heard him on public radio's Left, Right, and Center. He's a columnist syndicated by the San Francisco Chronicle. And we're talking about his recently released book in paperback, Playing President, My Close Encounters with Nixon, Carter, Bush 1, Reagan, and Clinton, and How They Did Not Prepare Me for George W. Bush. Let's talk about Bush 1 now, Bob Scheer. George H.W. Bush, far different from his son in many ways, most of which are kind of endearing now.
Well, he was a doer to begin with. I mean, he was somebody who, you know, yes, he was born to privilege, but he thought you have to do your homework. You know, you have to read and study. You've got to pass the exams on your own. And when he got on, he wasn't a cheerleader for the sports teams. He was on the baseball team. You know, he went into the military and he actually, you know, served in combat and, you know, didn't try to avoid it and still jumping out of airplanes and things. You know, so, you know, whatever criticism I have of Bush won, he certainly was a man of real achievement and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart fellow, and certainly had, as I say, absorbed an awful lot of information. By the way, I agree with what Nancy Reagan said before in that little excerpt. I think I spent a lot of time interviewing Ronnie Reagan. I interviewed him before he was governor and after and before his friend and all that. And there was no question Reagan had a great deal of knowledge and experience. So I'll throw that in as a little footnote.
All right, but tell that to Samuel Pierce, the director of HUD, who was greeted in a cabinet meeting as, "Hello, Mr. Mayor."
Yeah, well, I know. You know, I don't think he was racist or anything, but I do think Reagan was deliberately out to lunch. That was how he survived as long as he did. He would.
That's interesting.
That's what those naps were. That's what, you know, I'm not going to. It was sort of Einstein said that. I'm not saying he was an Einstein, but remember, Einstein said, "I'm not going to remember anything that I can write down." Or, you know,
right. Yeah.
Reagan had a strategy for how you get through the day, you know, how you get through the months and years, and how you preserve your energy. And I don't know. It's not the thing. I told you what I attack Reagan for. I thought AIDS. He's responsible for the death of millions of people. You know, by not willing to deal with the AIDS crisis when it developed, and not supplying the money to do the research, and not willing to do the condom distribution and education. So I'm not going light on Reagan there. But,
And Bob, if I wanted to pick one thing that I'm critical of Senior Bush for,
yeah,
it was the way he personalized his disputes. Manuel Noriega became, you know, a Willie Horton character, the most evil guy on the planet. And then we locked him up, and then he turned to Saddam. He called him Saddam Hussein, a way of insulting him. And I really felt that when he attempted to personalize those disputes, he undermined his own position and that of the United States.
Yeah, you know, the sad thing about Bush 1 is that he had a pretty reasonable take on what was going on in the world, and it's a take that has been betrayed by Bush 2. He understood that we were not going to be the big power running everything, that there were other economies that were coming along fast, that imperialism doesn't pay. It pays for some companies like Halliburton, but it doesn't pay for the American taxpayers, you know, and you got to do what the Chinese are doing, you know, buying up all these oil futures instead of trying to patrol the oil pipelines. And so in that sense, Bush 1 seems absolutely enlightened. But yes, he was very thin-skinned. He made things personal. I know that because he tried to get me fired from the L.A. Times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, told Otis Chandler I was the worst thing going, and you know, we had a personal confrontation right in front of my boss, Otis Chandler, the publisher. And Otis took me aside and said in the book, I said, you know, Bob, that you captured the George, the Bush that I've known from childhood, and so just keep doing your work.
Ah, nice.
Unfortunately, the current publisher didn't feel that way and fired me. But
well, he's a Tribune guy.
Yeah.
We're tight for time, and I got a couple of callers for you. Let's tell your story about Bill Clinton. You wrote a piece that compared him to Eisenhower, and he wrote you a lengthy personal note trying to argue you against that, and then you had an encounter at a state dinner.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I have to admit, I like Clinton. He's a very charming guy, and you know, and very smart, probably the smartest politician I've ever interviewed, and certainly knows a great deal, but what I object to in Clinton was all that triangulation, and you're seeing that with Hillary now, and that's one reason I bring up Jimmy Carter's warlike ways. I mean, you know, Democrats can do a lot of mischief, and you know, but basically I was summarizing Clinton's years, and I said he will be remembered as a great president, but right of center. You know, he basically gave to the big corporations what they wanted, the Telecommunications Act, Financial Service Modernization Act, and all that kind of stuff.
Welfare reform.
Welfare.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he didn't get us into too much in the way of foreign adventures, and he basically defeated the right wing, at least temporarily, and brought us back to kind of a center, and that's what I said would be his great achievement, that he was a man of the center, and wasn't afraid of them. He could take them on. Unfortunately, you got too many other Democrats who are afraid of the right wing and have to, you know, pander to them.
Right.
Clinton took them on, you know, and they took him on, and he took them on, and so I have a lot of respect for him, and I wrote that piece, and much to my amazement, I got a handwritten letter back from him. He must have sat down at some desk and just scrawled out every single program that he thought was progressive that he'd done in his administration, and he only ended when he came to the end of the page, you know? And then I had no idea he expected a response. So when I went to the state dinner, you know, going through the receiving line, that's where Hillary said, you know, oh, yeah, you're my favorite columnist and all that. However, you know, as a columnist, as a radio person like yourself, you know, you can't let that get to you.
Right.
You know, Hillary's not playing a good role now, and I have to criticize her.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was going through the line, they announced your name, and you know, and then Bill Clinton said, "Oh, you never answered my letter." The last thing I thought was true, it was handwritten, but I never assumed that, you know, that he would have. And he said, "Well, I've sent you another one, you know," and sure enough, he sent me another one. And I talked to him about it just a few months ago because he was in L.A. And, you know, personally, I think the guy is great. Personally, I think Hillary Clinton is great. I think she's a very smart and very appealing person, and she could play a great role. But she's no Eleanor Roosevelt. She's not willing to take her lumps, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap up on your note about how all of these presidents who you met, talked to, interacted with, wrote about, never prepared you for George W. Bush.
Yeah, well, I think that's the alarming thing about where we are now. I mean, we're in this crazy situation where you got these people saying we're in World War III, Islamo-fascism, and, you know, I wonder, you know, the Islamo-fascists, on the one hand, you got the, what, Judeo-Christian imperialists on the other. Where does that leave the rest of us, you know? It's scary. And this guy, I just feel, doesn't know what he's into. I mean, I don't think he really ever expected to be president, and certainly his father never expected to be president. He preferred the other brother. I think the family was shocked. I mean, one reason I didn't interview George W. back in those days is no one ever told me he was going to be president. You know,
Bob, we're out of time. I want to thank you. This has been fascinating.
Right.
I really enjoyed it. The book is Playing President. Robert Scheer has been our guest this hour. Visit truthdig.com, and you can get more information, even buy the book right there. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
All right.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Labor Day salute to the men and women who get the job done.
One of the reasons why we're the economic leader in the world is because of our workforce.
Adventurer and TV star Steve Irwin, killed in a stingray attack.
It's all about perceived danger.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Lou Miliano. From coast to coast, parades and rallies saluting the people who punch the keyboards, take out the trash, and cash the paychecks. Though not everyone's satisfied with what they're seeing in the paycheck these days.
The biggest concern is the split between the people who have it very well off in this administration and person versus the people who are struggling just to get a working wage.
Gary Knutson's president of the Letter Carriers Union in La Crosse, Wisconsin. President Bush gave his own holiday salute today.
At a Merchant Marine Training Center run by the Seafarers Union, President Bush delivered a Labor Day tribute to America's working men and women.
And we honor those who work because, in so doing, we recognize that one of the reasons why we're the economic leader in the world is because of our workforce.
To keep the U.S. the most powerful economy, Mr. Bush said his pro-growth policies must stay in place. He said the U.S. must reduce dependence on foreign oil, and the tax cuts enacted on his watch must be made permanent. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president at Piney Point, Maryland.
It's Labor Day, and along with today being the unofficial end of summer, it's also the unofficial start of the fall election campaigns. And this year, a kickoff or a pivotal election season.
This year, nothing less than control of Congress is on the line.
The Democrats have a strategy. It's criticizing the administration.
Political analyst Stuart Rothenberg says a referendum on the president's war policies is shaping up, but some GOP strategists say national security is the party's strong suit, and they believe many races will turn on local and regional issues. Democrats need to take 6 seats to control the Senate, 15 to take over the House. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
The following message brought to you is a public service by Arid Extra Dry.
America, November 7th is drawing near, and it's vital that you vote today in the election of the Wetness Protection Program's Executive Director. This official will be charged with protecting you and your loved ones from wetness and odor. So go to wetnessprotectionprogram.com to meet this week's candidates and cast your vote. And after the polls close on November 7th, go to wetnessprotectionprogram.com to meet the newly elected Executive Director.
To fight wetness and odor, just apply Arid Extra Dry.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer Aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer Aspirin your simple wonder. Plus enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
It's Labor Day, but no holiday when it comes to the push for immigration reform. Demonstrations today across the U.S., however, drawing fewer protesters than the massive rallies this spring. But the message to Congress is the same. Allow illegal workers to live and work freely in the U.S.
This society needs to understand that it's unfair to treat immigrants as criminals. It's important to make people understand that immigrants are working and they are building this society.
Rosa Carrasco joined demonstrators in Illinois on a 35-mile march to the offices of House Speaker Dennis Hastert.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. There's hardly any chance that Congress will agree on one new immigration law, not the separate and very different bills that were passed but never enacted. Republican pollster Frank Luntz says it certainly won't happen before Election Day, 9 weeks from tomorrow.
They couldn't get it done. And it's why the public is so angry with Washington.
Luntz thinks many members of Congress will lose their seats because of their failure to pass a bill on immigration. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
From Australia to America, TV viewers are saying goodbye to the crocodile hunter.
She thrashes her head out, shot.
Steve Irwin was killed off the Great Barrier Reef, where he was filming a documentary. Irwin was snorkeling over a group of stingrays when the tail of one suddenly struck, stabbing him in the heart. Irwin's longtime producer, John Stainton.
Today the world has lost a great wildlife icon, a passionate conservationist, and one of the proudest dads on the planet.
Irwin leaves behind 2 children, plus his wife and TV co-star, Terry Irwin. Steve Irwin was 44. Iran's chief nuclear negotiators tentatively agreed to meet with the European Union for 2 days starting Wednesday. The EU hopes the talks can solve the impasse over Iran's nuclear program. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Living with cataracts? Take care with Similazon Cataract Care Eye Drops. Finally, healthy relief for the symptoms of diagnosed cataracts is available over the counter. While only surgery can remove cataracts, Similazon Homeopathic Cataract Care stimulates your eye's natural ability to temporarily relieve cataract symptoms. Plus, Similazon is safe to use with no known side effects. Cataract relief shouldn't be hard to find, and now it isn't. Look for Similazon in the eye care section of your local retailer. Take care. Similazon Cataract Care. Read and follow label directions.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer Aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer Aspirin your simple wonder. Plus enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
The clock is ticking again at the Kennedy Space Center. CBS News correspondent Peter King says they are looking at a Wednesday launch of the space shuttle Atlantis, or Thursday. or Friday.
Shuttle weather watchers always deal with that glass is half empty scenario.
We're going with a 20% probability of Kennedy Space Center weather prohibiting launch.
Just invert the numbers for an 80% go for Wednesday, slightly less Thursday and Friday. And if there's a glitch, NASA will try all 3 days in a row instead of the usual two. Launch director Mike Leinbach knows it's fly this week or a probable wait until October.
The team is really excited to try to do this. I mean, this is what we're in the business for.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The East Coast got some relief today from the Ernesto-generated rains for a beautiful end to the wet Labor Day weekend. In the western U.S., they can only dream of it. Montana firefighters got the worst again today. Hot, windy weather pushing wildfire flames. Time on the roundup, 7 past the hour.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-204-6810. That's 1-800-204-6810. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-204-6810. That's 1-800-204-6810.
The U.S. markets were closed today, Labor Day, but overseas global markets rose and oil slipped below $69 a barrel. And how are you going to vote on Thursday? Your Lucent stock lets you and the bosses at both New Lucent Technologies, Inc. and France's Alcatel S.A. are hoping you say yes to the $11 billion marriage of the two telecommunications gear makers. Analysts say, in spite of the collapse 5 years ago of a combination attempt, long-suffering stockholders, at least enough of them at Lucent, will squeak the deal through on Thursday. And that's the World News Roundup Late Edition for Monday, September 4th, 2006. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
The following program has been previously recorded.
As we launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, I'm glad you're listening. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we visit with John Laird. He chairs California's Assembly Budget Committee. We'll talk about the special session on prisons and some other issues, too. Then we'll spend the rest of next hour with Bob Petraeus, candidate for governor in Ohio. And we're going to talk about a recent article that claimed that Kerry wouldn't have won the election in Ohio in 2004. Which I don't agree with. That's all ahead. But this hour, we're going to meet Steve Elson. He served over 20 years as a Navy SEAL. Then he joined the Federal Aviation Administration's Red Team. Their job was to break through airport security, so he knows where the vulnerabilities are. And he is a colleague of Bogdan Zukovic, who has been on our program before. Together, they whistle blew, if that is the proper past tense. They blew the whistle on the shocking vulnerabilities of our air security system as far back as 1999. Steve Elson, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I expect to learn quite a bit over the course of the next hour. I wanted to start by reading a passage that was written by your colleague Bogdan Zukovic, and that was published earlier this year in a book called Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. This is almost prophetic. The real problem, as I see it, is that the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, is built on the same weak foundation as the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. It will always be at least one step behind the terrorists. Remember the shoe bomber? Right after that incident, the TSA made everyone take off their shoes at the screening checkpoints. Then we had the female Chechen terrorists, who apparently hid explosives in their underwear. And so TSA screeners started groping female passengers until a big public outcry brought that silliness to a stop. Next time, the terrorists might put explosives in toothpaste tubes, and you can count on TSA screeners squishing out all the toothpaste from passengers' bags. If the terrorists had a sense of humor, they'd put some kind of lethal chemical agent on toilet paper and make sure the government finds it. Then our government will outlaw toilet paper in all public restrooms. And there is clearly a tongue-in-cheek element to what he's saying, but we were squeezing toothpaste tubes just yesterday, weren't we?
Yes, sir, we were.
And from your point of view, does this make us safer?
There is nothing in the TSA that makes us safer now. You call the TSA the Transportation Security Administration. I refer to it as the Terrorist Support Agency or Administration because it is the single best source for a terrorist to go to, their website, and listen to them on TV to find out how to defeat aviation security. And if they're only one step behind, we ought to be overjoyed.
Well, and I'm an amateur at all this, but I can sit here right in the comfort of my radio studio and imagine a lot of different ways to get past the current security measures that are being taken.
Well, you make an excellent point. I would say if somebody would get me the authority, I'll guarantee you that we could go out today in condition red and get explosives, liquid, granular, or plastic, right onto a plane with absolutely no problem.
Well, you say that with such conviction. I have no reason to challenge that. And having gotten some things through, just inadvertently, whether it's the, banned nail clippers or they did get my mustache trimmer, and I'm still a little bit pissed about that. there are things that have slipped through. And I've even had things in a suitcase where they left a little love note behind, that says this bag was inspected, and here's a note from the TSA, and they miss things that I think they probably could have construed as somehow risky or in violation.
I don't doubt it at all. There's no surprise. The only surprise would be if they actually did well. I mean, the failure rates are just legend.
Yeah. Now, Steve, as this news report started to surface on Wednesday evening, what was your first reaction when you heard that the British had intercepted and broken up this plan to use chemical bombs or little, homebrew chemical-based devices to blow up as many as 10 different airliners?
Well, I thought, like most people that were following what was going on, this is a replay of the Bojinka incident, which I was heavily involved in and have a lot of knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got a picture of the guy's butt that was blown up on the test flight.
Uh-huh.
And his testicle dribbling down the wall on the plane.
Mm.
So, I'll pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah. Is there any skepticism that surfaces in your mind that this is being hyped or overblown?
To a degree, the thing that disturbs me is that the politicians, both parties, Democratic, Republican, are playing this up and making it a much bigger deal than it is. And I think the public is really missing, as TSA and the government has, they're missing the key points on this. I kind of look at it in two ways. If we're going to look at, first of all, I looked at it as intelligence. The 9/11 Commission was really big on intelligence failures. And there were intelligence failures, but the simple fact is the FAA could have prevented 9/11 with nothing more than a piece of rope out of a garbage can, a few simple procedures. And the other simple fact is that a terrorist group is nothing more than a special operations outfit, like the Green Berets, like the British SAS, and they use the same methodologies. And what they did here was they violated some of the most basic tenets of operational security, OPSEC, in their operation planning. So many people knew what was going on. They got overly ambitious. The second point goes back to the TSA. And the fact is the TSA would never have found these items. And and they would have been successful in their attempt to blow up the planes. And the big thing we have to remember is everybody gets real excited, and you look at operations like this at both vulnerability and threat. If you look strictly at vulnerability, we already know there's a threat. We don't care how big it is. We don't care which group did it. We don't care which explosive they use. If we look simply at the whole range of vulnerabilities and close off those vulnerabilities, in other words, this is a simple approach, we have a paradigm or a model for doing that, then whoever wants to do it or whatever they want to use probably will have a big obstacle in their way.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I want to return to something you said a moment ago, which is the way that politicians have been playing this issue, and I agree with what you said. In particular, the Republicans started making comments before this plot breakup was revealed on Wednesday in reference to the Lieberman-Lamont election in the primary in Connecticut. And Tony Snow, the president, the vice president, and others made remarks that suggested that this guy Lamont is somehow, you know, allied with Al Qaeda, and there were a lot of comments that now, in retrospect, you know, just 48 hours passing, you can see were very pointed, and it was using the insider information to try to set up a kind of political frame that the Republicans think strengthen them and hurt Democrats. And you're correct that there has been a reaction from Democrats regarding the politics, and so it's distracting to the American people, and it also undermines our confidence. It's like the boy who cried wolf, because we have seen that this administration has used either alert. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, Hey, it's Sheila Gale, reminding you to join me this Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5, for Reality Radio, where we'll interview great guests from the Central Coast, ordinary people with extraordinary stories. There's nothing we won't talk about. We'll have author Joe Klass, TV host Rama P. Jama, life coach Cynthia Ling, Tony X to share his harrowing life story of crime, drugs, and rehabilitation. Saturdays, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on KRXA.
Investments in real estate. Call her at 1-800-525-6589 to sign up for a free seminar at the Fairmont in Newport Beach, August 26th. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday morning at 10 on KRXA.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540 Monterey northbound Highway 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. It's a stalled car that's just been cleared from some lanes there. Morgan Hill, Watsonville Road at Sycamore Drive. Solo car crash overturned. One party is still inside. Emergency crews are on the scene. A tow truck on the scene as well. Watsonville, Werner at Salinas. Stalled car partially blocking that intersection. Once again, that's Werner Road at Salinas. In fact, they're also saying it's possibly a jackknife tractor trailer, and it's unclear if the roadway is currently blocked. Rio Del Mar, Vista Del Mar at Alta. Stalled trailer blocking some lanes there. The Chevy model year in event is here. The last of the 06s are going fast. Claim yours before they're gone. See your local Northern California Chevy dealer today. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's get ready and go on a trip.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe, fly naked, no weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines. No carry-ons, no clothing, no laptops. Well, laptops. And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection.
direction. No clothing directions from the nude flight attendant. A guy.
Damn.
Fly safe.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where clothing is optional. Steve Elson is our guest this hour, a former member of the Federal Aviation Administration's Red Team. Their job was to penetrate airport security, and he did it on a regular basis, and he's filling us in on the vulnerabilities that we face. Steve, so many things I want to talk with you about. First up, tell me about this. The cargo that goes on passenger planes and cargo that flies on what are exclusively cargo planes, that is still not inspected on a full basis. Is that the case?
Oh, absolutely. It's almost not inspected at all. As a matter of fact, I got an email from somebody involved in that, and I have several sources in the TSA. And about, they had some fairly good people. Half of them just quit. They said they couldn't stand the TSA. They either went to other government agencies or to private enterprise. And it's just, it's another one. If you look at aviation, it's really a subsystem. But if you look at aviation security as a system, the TSA focuses primarily on checkpoints because that's what passengers see and experience. The ramps, access control, background checks, cargo security, mail, wide open.
Mm-hmm.
All of it wide open.
Yeah. Steve, when I was still in high school, my dad, who was a World War II history buff, took me to France, and he wanted to show me the Maginot Line, and he did. We spent about a day walking through these gun batteries that had been built after World War II and before, after World War I and before World War II. And the French felt that they had built an impregnable defense system. And the Luftwaffe, Hitler's Air Force, flew over, and one of the miscalculations the French made was that the gun turrets did not spin 360 degrees.
I remember.
They were simply pointed at the enemy, and I guess they had, maybe a 270-degree arc. And so Hitler flew well over and then behind this line of defense and handily bombed it. And that was a tremendous education and lesson for me. When you look at airport security and the problems that we've had, the penetrations that have occurred causing a loss of life, have we essentially built a Maginot Line? In other words, we've protected against the last attack, but we haven't imagined other attacks that we need to defend against in the future.
Well, if we'd had a Maginot Line, I would be absolutely impressed. What I see is not a Maginot Line, but a big Swiss cheese, just absolutely full of holes. And, in the TSA, there isn't anybody in Congress or any place that speaks well of the TSA now. And everybody knows what's going on, that you can get anything through pretty much you want. You can get out in the ramps. Why go through all the hassle of going through a checkpoint, getting inspected, having your bags x-rayed, having your bags through the big CTX machines, being run through a no-fly list, when you can literally walk out on the ramps, Pearl, go to airports, Pearl, go to planes, Pearl, and put bombs, Pearl, on them without ever being detected or bothered. It's that easy to do.
Well, as you're describing this, I'm thinking of some interviews I saw yesterday with the head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, and he really does seem to be just a little better than Michael Brown. He's a little smoother, in terms of the meat.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Well, Mr. Tomato, how are you looking to improve your self-esteem and make the most of your career in entertainment?
Well, I'm locally grown and people love me. But now that the Monterey County Fair has this countywide chili cook-off and salsa contest and hot spicy nights, I don't know. I've heard that great chili and salsa sings, so I've been practicing. Listen, one ton tomato, I'd be a one ton tomato.
It's one ton tomato. Besides, the Monterey County Fair doesn't need you to sing. They've got great musical entertainment like Western Swing Band, Asleep at the Wheel, the fair favorite, Tower of Power, country star Billy Dean, and wow, Greg Raleigh, the original lead singer from Santana. There's a rockin' Battle of the Bands contest and the Magic 63 All-Star Band, great Latin bands on Fiesta Day, and don't miss our first ever date night on Friday night at the fair. There's something for everyone.
Wow, I guess I really need to catch up.
Yeah, the cow already told me that one. Monterey County Fair welcomes the public from August 15th to the 20th. For online tickets and more information, visit www.montereycountyfair.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about airport security and the threat suggested by the plot. The British say they broke up. And we're talking with Steve Elson. He served in the Navy SEALs for over 20 years, then jumped over to the Federal Aviation Administration, where he worked on the Red Team with Bogdan Zukovic, who you've heard on our program and you've heard us talk about before. The Red Team's job was to penetrate airport security, to expose the flaws and try to improve systems and practices. And Steve, I want to talk about Bojinka, but first let's take a call. We got Cole in Eureka. If you have a question or comment, you can join us at 888-5-PETER-B. Cole, go right ahead. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Good. I haven't had much experience with flying. I'm 20 years old. But it seems kind of scary. You know, we had the 9/11, and I didn't fly for a while after that.
Uh-huh. Cole, your cell phone is really hard to hear. Can you kind of just hold it still or something?
Yes. Is that better?
A little better, yeah. Okay, so you say you're about 20 and you haven't flown much.
I haven't flown much. I didn't fly for a while after 11th, and then now that I've said it to you, you know. it's not just in the United States, but it's, you know, if I want to fly internationally, it's kind of scary, because I don't know if I'll care what's going to attack the plane that I'm on.
Uh-huh.
So what kind of things do you think would be improved to make it safer for Americans to fly?
Okay, I'll pass your question along, and if you have anything else, hang up and dial us back, because we just don't have a very good connection, Cole, from Eureka this afternoon. I appreciate it. So it's a fairly straightforward question, Steve. He just wants to know, if he flies internationally, what kinds of precautions should he take, and what should he be looking for?
Well, you're always going to look for suspicious people, but basically people have to realize that the odds of any one individual getting blown up are extremely remote. For instance, I would have flown the night of 9/11. I would go to London today and fly even if, you know, if I needed to go, even if they weren't checking anything. The odds thing, all we're really trying to do, we can't stop terrorism. We can only manage risk and reduce risk. So basically, you know, if you're going to, as far as being hassled, you know, pack your bags, you know, very clearly, go dressed where you don't have a lot of metal on you. But as far as looking for anything, I wouldn't even bother worrying about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now let's talk about Bojinka. We've got about 9 minutes till our next break. We don't need to spend all that time on it, but I just want you to know that we're not going to cut in 20 seconds and shorten the story, because this is, it's interesting, and I think it's important background on the types of techniques that terrorists have considered. So tell us about Bojinka.
Okay, well, Bojinka was a plot that was discovered by accident when a safe house, apparently an Al-Qaeda safe house, caught in fire in the Philippines.
Manila, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a computer, and it had the word Bojinka or Bojinka on it. And what they discovered was a list of large aircraft, large U.S. carriers flying from the Far East that they planned to put, I believe, 12 of them, put explosives on. And they had actually done a test shot, and it wasn't on, it was, I think, on a Philippine carrier, and they put a little, like a whiteout bottle under a seat with a liquid explosive. It detonated and splayed the guy's rear end and back all over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The FAA sent one of our people from the red team over.
Steve, excuse me. The victim, there was one person, a Japanese businessman, who was killed.
That's the guy I'm talking about.
And the plane actually was able to land safely, right?
Yeah, it was a very, very small charge. They were just testing.
Uh-huh. Okay,
just
go
like
ahead.
These people were getting ready to do. And these people do look, and they surveil, and they test, just like any smart person wanting to hit a target. So what our guy did, he went over there, the FBI went over there, and the FBI played FBI, and they were all by the book. This guy went out drinking with a lot of the Filipino cops, and he got way more information than the FBI, and we got ideas of what the device looked like, and we took them to a military facility, and we had mock-ups built, and we went out with a lot of directions to airports. I'd been on the red team over at Bangkok, which was one of the intended airports. On the red team, we shredded the airport, as we always do, except the nice thing is that the people there actually took it to heart, and they really improved security. So when Bojinka hit, they were more ready to deal with it. And I worked a lot in intelligence during that. I can't get into a lot of the details, but one of the interesting one was that we found Middle Easterners over here going to American flight schools. Now, this is 1995. Because I'm a pilot and had a background in that, I tracked the guy down. I found out the school he went to. I knew how he dressed. I knew about his flight bag, about the stickers on the bags, and so forth. But simply because of luck, we found out about Manila. We found about the plot. The airlines came into the FAA, and they were very serious and very somber when they came out of the briefing. We got devices out, warned people, and we found a lot of information. Apparently, there was, I guess it was an Al-Qaeda person, planning to actually go do the operation. And these, what they were doing is putting explosives on planes with timers that could be set up to a year.
Mm.
And so they're very simple devices, but very clever.
That's just using a digital watch, right?
That's it, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there, well, one of these people went to, I think it was Bangkok, one of the airports. He saw the good security, which was rare. He got frightened. He went back home. Then he was afraid his own people were going to kill himself, and he turned himself into a U.S. agency. So that's where we got a lot of the information on what was going on, what the plot was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And we lucked out and defeated it, but obviously we didn't learn a damn thing.
And what are the points of resistance here? Are the airlines part of the problem? That they, you know, after 9/11, they pled poverty and said, well, we can't afford to pay for all this security. And they had resisted enhanced security prior to 9/11, mainly because of cost issues. And so, you know, one would reasonably assume that the self-interest of the airlines is to protect their planes, protect their employees, and at minimum, even if they don't care about us as passengers, they want to reduce the liability from, you know, wrongful death claims. So isn't it in their obvious self-interest to operate in as secure a manner as possible? And isn't that, you know, so obvious, but the actual behavior is far different from that?
Well, you make an excellent point. Now, if you remember a number of years ago in the FAA days, the FAA mission was to promote the industry. Business people who were putting ahead of FAA thought that meant ensure that they make profits. As a security person, my belief was that we promote the industry by ensuring safe flying, because if the planes get blown up, the airlines were going to suffer, which happened. Now, it's interesting, the 9/11 Commission steered everybody towards intelligence failures, which really didn't have a whole hell of a lot to do with 9/11. But look at a couple of the political aspects. If you say there were intelligence failures in the FBI, which didn't have any intelligence or any intelligence analysts who were trained, and the CIA, it works to everybody's benefit because they say, gee, we could have done well if we had more assets and resources. So the government gives them more money, more people. If you go to the FAA, the FAA is a regulatory agency. It regulated a profit-making industry, and Congress, the DOT, and FAA didn't want to hurt the monies. So they bent over and allowed this to happen. FAA, all the people in the government took an oath to protect and defend the country. Nothing about ensuring profits, but in fact, they went with the airlines, they bought into the program because of the donations, and they allowed us to be killed. The FAA is guilty of murder.
Well, that's an important statement. Let's go back to the phones here. Xavier in Santa Cruz, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Steve Elson.
Hi. Are either or both of you familiar with a BBC, it was like three-program series called the Power of Nightmares?
I haven't seen that. Steve, are you familiar with it, a BBC series, Power of Nightmares?
I haven't seen it either, sir.
Well, what it it claims is that the neocons and the Islamic fundamentalists are essentially both have their roots in something that happened back in the 40s, and they both have parallel ideologies of disempowering people and having, like, in fact, one time they were actually on the same team in the, whenever the Soviet Union was trying to go after Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And what it seems like they're trying to do is have an agreement that the other side is the enemy so they can demonize each other and continue to have this power over their own prospective people.
Well, Xavier, I can't take it back to the 40s, but in the 1980s, when the Soviet Union occupied Afghanistan, we took a number of steps using covert operatives, including what became the Mujahideen. And so there is linkage there. Let me turn to Steve. He knows more than I do.
Okay,
I couldn't hear all of his question, but it sounded more like a political thing. And I really deal mostly with operational matters and intelligence, because I don't think, you know, that's all interesting, and it's, you know, talks about, from what I could hear of the gentleman's comment, you know, about the political and alliances.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that has anything to do with aviation security. That all may be well and true, but that has nothing to do with why TSA is a failure.
Mm-hmm. All right, Xavier, thanks for the question. And on that note, have you seen the newest issue of Vanity Fair?
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 5:40 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540. Santa Cruz northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline, some construction work. The off-ramp closed for long-term construction work. That'll take you through December. Southbound Highway 1 at Highway 68, it's a partially stalled-out van in the right lane, the tow truck and route. Morgan Hill, Sycamore at Bryson, it's a herd of goats still in lanes there. Rio Del Mar, Vista Del Mar at Alta, it's a tractor-trailer blocking a lane. And Watsonville, Werner at Salinas, a tractor-trailer with some mechanical problems at the westbound direction of Werner is closed. Don't miss Cost Plus World Market Days at Cost Plus World Market. During our annual celebration of savings, you'll find tons of deals and discoveries. Save big on all rugs, curtain panels, bath towels, tabletop, textiles, and more. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Steve Elson. He worked for the Federal Aviation Administration's Red Team over 20 years as a Navy SEAL before that, and he's fighting to get the word out about our true vulnerabilities in terms of airline security. And you can tell he's a guy who doesn't mince any words. I really appreciate that, Steve. You talked with us earlier this hour and mentioned that you could tell us about some of the vulnerabilities at the one of the West Coast's most important hubs, the San Francisco International Airport. Talk a little bit about what's going on there. And I understand that we have a new head of TSA there whose background was with the California Highway Patrol.
Well, exactly. He's not new. He's been there several years, and I'll get into him in a minute.
All right.
What I'm going to do is take you through a quick chronology of San Francisco Airport. In early 92 and early 93, the Department of Transportation went out and tested a number of airports. San Francisco was one of them. On 2 April 93, FAA Director of Security Operations, Lynn Osmus, sent a draft report to DOT to address the findings. And she talked about all the problems. The failure rates were about 75%. And I have this documented. Most things I have documented. They're indisputable, so that's not even an issue.
Okay.
In the mid-90s, there were other continuing evaluations of the same type of failures. I do not have documentation on that. On 20 October 98, there was a memo from San Francisco Airport, which I will be faxing you shortly, of a vulnerability assessment. This one was unique in that it had an extremely large sample. You want a statistically significant sample, of course, when you do any assessments. This had 450 attempts to breach security. This was an outside group hired by the FAA. It was videotaped by the Navy for the FAA. Out of the 450 attempts to breach security, the guys breaching got through 446 attempts. That's a 99.11% failure rate.
Wow.
Including going through the checkpoint with pistols behind their belt buckles and MAC-10 submachine guns on their back.
Wow.
The FAA was so impressed. This was originally done for the federal security managers, senior FAA people at airports to teach. The FAA was so impressed with this, they buried it and hid it. They did nothing. A year later, they went out with these SEA, special emphasis assessments, all over the country, and these were supposed to be more realistic tests. We were threatened with our jobs if we revealed them. We found out, and I have the documents, that the head of operations in the FAA told the airlines about this. They still failed them. In February of 03, Dan Noyes of ABC7 there in San Francisco flew to New Orleans where I was. We were preparing to move to D.C. We talked for 3 hours or so. He went back. He went to San Francisco Airport and conducted assessments using these lead film bags.
I recall that, yeah.
Yeah, they block x-rays, they block guns, they block liquid. Whatever's in the path of, between the x-ray gun and the reception plate is blocked. 100% failure rate. I took a copy of that tape and went to Nancy Pelosi's office. April Fool's Day. I talked to Ms. Downey at the desk for 4 minutes, and she took the tape and gave it to Laura Levinson, her staffer, who's still there. I checked today. I went back on 9 April, and I talked to Ms. Levinson, and I gave her that report of the 99.11% failure rate. She didn't want to talk to me that day. I waited till late in the evening. She came out of her office. One constituent there, I told the guy, sit down and listen to me. I asked her, what the heck's going on here? you know, she's supposed to be the leader. Well, she's too busy now as a leader to deal with these issues. I said, you mean too busy to deal with another 9/11 event? That was the end of that. On 4-May-03, Dan Noyes went back to San Francisco and did the same exact assessment. 100% failure rate again. In that, Mr. Gomez, the federal security director, what a real charming guy, getting down and talking to a dog. I mean, the guy's an idiot. I went back to Pelosi's office on the 21st of May at 12:23, and they still didn't want to talk to me. Then I went to Jane Harmon's office, and I talked to David Granis. This was on 20 May at 9:11 in the morning. I gave a copy to him. I went back to Ms. Pelosi's office on the 23rd of July at 12:05 and talked with Jim Giottina. Miss Levinson wouldn't even talk to me. So these people just plain don't give a damn. You know, when somebody tells me she's too busy, I wrote her a nice paper about leadership and that leaders don't have to do. They merely assess, task, and follow up.
Mm-hmm.
On October 5th to October 5th of this year to January 6th of this year, the GAO, the General Accounting Office, hit 21 airports throughout the country, doing multiple bomb tests, and they keep it classified, and the airports are classified, but inside sources tell me San Francisco's one of those. On these tests, they tried to get caught. TSA failed, you guessed it, once again, 100% of the time. So what we have at San Francisco from 1993 to 2006 was a 75% failure, followed by a very consistent 100% failure rate. That's billions of dollars spent so that we can get killed easily.
Wow, Steve. And they tell us that we...
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Monterey 9/11 Truth, sponsored by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, will be presenting 9/11 Press for the Truth this Wednesday, September 6th at 6:45 p.m. at the Monterey Senior Center on the corner of Lighthouse and Dickman in New Monterey. Admission is free. Press for the Truth tells the story of six of the 9/11 families, their struggle for an official investigation, and the utter failure of that investigation to uncover the truth. It will be shown at 6:45 p.m. on Wednesday the 6th at the Monterey Senior Center. There is no...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Milliano. Labor Day 2006. The sun finally came out on the East Coast, but for so many in North Carolina and Virginia for two, it only shined light on floodwaters and destroyed neighborhoods. And for thousands still without power, it did give them a dry chance to find more flashlights and lanterns and maybe even a generator here and there. Labor Day celebrates the American worker, and President Bush took the lead at a maritime center in Piney Point, Maryland.
The unemployment rate is 4.7%. That's a good sign if you're somebody looking for a job. It means people are working here in the United States.
I'm Peter Mayer in Washington. As President Bush and Republicans use Labor Day appearances to defend their economic policy, labor leaders complain about flat wages.
Pocketbook issues will be top voting issues this fall.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney, as unions kick off a major get-out-the-vote drive aimed at returning Congress to Democratic control. Republicans plan their own massive turnout effort, and they say they're ready for any debate on economic issues. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington. Labor Day was chosen by immigrant activists to launch rallies and marches across the country. The numbers weren't nearly as great as they were in the spring, but in Houston, KTRH reporter Tracy Evans says there was no lack of spirit.
Roughly 200 people, including George Garcia from the Bronx, marched the several blocks to Houston City Hall and came out to send a message about immigration.
The wages are way so low, you can't buy nothing.
Jackie Henderson came out to support the immigrants.
Give amnesty now, green cards for everyone.
Mike, however, came to protest the protesters, carrying a sign that said simply, "Remember the Alamo."
Every organization that protests, they're turning into a racist issue, and it's not racist. It's a legal issue.
Tracy Evans for CBS News, Houston.
The rains finally stopped along the East Coast. In the West, Montana firefighters were prepared for the worst again today. Hot, windy weather, again punishing the crews trying to stop a raging wildfire from taking more homes. It was a lightning strike 2 weeks ago. Today, 280 square miles are charred, and only about 20% contained. And up near Lake Tahoe, a wildfire is burning west of the lake and moving toward it. A record 61 million, the Jerry Lewis annual Labor Day Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. 80-year-old Lewis was choking back tears as the final tally flashed on the screen. 61,013,855. "I can only thank you from the bottom of my heart for so many little people," he said. "They can't thank you, can't show their appreciation in any way." Lewis Labor Day Telethon has been airing since 1966 and over the 40 years has raised $1.4 billion to fight muscular dystrophy. Iraqi security officials have been boasting of the capture of the man they describe as the number two al-Qaeda fighter in Iraq. U.S. commanders have said that's the Iraqi description, not theirs. And today, an umbrella group of Sunni extremists said their leadership is still in the best condition, and claims from the Iraqis are just media diversions. This is CBS News.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
It's a New York tradition. Labor Day is for the West Indian Parade. For a number of years, it was a violent occasion. But over recent years, it's become a colorful and fun event, as Sophia Hall reports from Brooklyn.
It was a celebration of culture as hundreds of women in rainbow-colored costumes lit up the streets here in Brooklyn for the West Indian Day Parade. Millions watched. Many of them could not help but dance to the music right here in the street.
It's a great day for all these many West Indian cultures to mesh together, and I'm saying express myself.
Scotty wore a Jamaican flag around his neck, and folks also lined up for the food. The secret ingredients? Lots of spices. Sophia Hall, CBS News. Brooklyn, New York.
A stinging friendly fire incident in Afghanistan is a NATO commander calls particularly distressing tragedy. U.S. warplanes covering NATO troops mistakenly fired on them instead of Taliban militants. I'm Lou Maliano, CBS News.
The following message brought to you is a public service by Arid Extra Dry.
America, November 7th is drawing near, and it's vital that you vote today in the election of the Wetness Protection Program's executive director. This official will be charged with protecting you and your loved ones from wetness and odor. So go to wetnessprotectionprogram.com to meet this week's candidates and cast your vote. And after the polls close on November 7th, go to wetnessprotectionprogram.com to meet the newly elected executive director.
To fight wetness and odor, just apply Arid Extra Dry.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer aspirin your simple wonder. Plus enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
The following program has been previously recorded.
Continue. 6 minutes after the hour. And here's Michael Fronte, Spearhead. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a rare occurrence, a live guest in the secret studio here at the Peter B. Collins Show. A revolution.
revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow. Three pieces and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a papa pill culture. Drugs, companies, circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother your fire?
You're not supposed to yell a fire in a crowded theater. How about in a pre-fascist nation, huh? Every Tuesday, we spend half an hour talking with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org. And son of a gun, he's right in front of me here in the studio today. Hello, Jason.
Unbelievable. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to meet you in person.
Pleasure. Thank you.
We've had this telephonic relationship for over a year now. And it's great to have you in our hood, and you're on a...
And I love the secret location.
Yeah?
This truly is like a nice bunker.
Well,
I thought Cheney would be around here, but he's not nowhere to be found.
Well, let me think of a quick response. It's a pacemaker-free zone.
Yeah.
You know, all the electronics might interfere with his ticker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great that you made the trip, and let me first mention that you're doing book signings and talks in Northern California today and tomorrow. You're at Book Passage, a great store, bookstore, independent bookstore in Corte Madera tonight. That's at 7 o'clock.
Right.
And then tomorrow night, you're up at Project Censored at Sonoma State University.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that event, you know, the opportunity to talk to... Not just talk about my book, but talk about journalism in general and talk about some of the stories that I've covered over the years, including Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm. And Project Censored is your host there at Sonoma State University. And that started, I think, 25 years ago. Carl Jensen he's now retired, but he started it as a professor of journalism and communications there. And it has just grown into such a valuable service to the country. Every year they publish what grows thicker. A book with the stories that were either undercovered or just totally ignored by the corporate media.
It's funny. If you look at the book, the 2002 edition of the book, you'll see stories that are in there covered by, real independent media. I mean, you know, that act on a shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
That, these are the stories that are now being covered by the mainstream media. We're talking about, everything that has to do with what's going on in Iraq, domestic issues. And these are the stories that, these independent reporters, covered 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it truly is a lesson to journalists.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just shows that while we do have freedom of speech and freedom of the press, that it is so dominated now by corporate interests and the deregulation of radio and television that Bill Clinton signed in 1996 is still an albatross that has reduced the number of distinct voices who are heard in the media and sharply reduced the possibility for independent stories and independent journalism to penetrate, because it's also focus group market research and targeted to women 25 to 54, that it really is a news product now and not journalism based in far too many cases.
Right. It feels like a package. When I was watching I think it was actually 60 Minutes this weekend. And they were talking about Michael Jordan, actually. Talking about Michael Jordan and the... it was Ed Bradley who said, Michael Jordan published a book, and that book is by Simon Schuster. I believe that's what he said. Simon Schuster is owned by Viacom, and Viacom is part of it. It's this gigantic package that, he had to say this. So it really does show that, media, all media... it's really based in one portal, in a sense.
Well, there should be images required. When a CBS plugs a Simon and Schuster, they should, have somebody scratching his back.
Right, exactly. Because it's going to account for sales.
Yeah.
But it's, I really feel that with the JonBenet Ramsey you know, which is a tragedy, that story, that, you know, a little girl.
It was a minor story 10 years ago.
But
and sure, it was tragic for the family. I don't deny that in any way. But the media turned it into something that we're all supposed to care about, as if she were your little sister.
Exactly. And the fact that they have, you know, just jumped all over it again is, you know, once again, another example of what the media, and I don't think it's just, you know, the editors or the people that are, you know, that are making calls. It's the reporters that love covering this. They enjoy it. And I think that, you know, a story like this is much easier to cover than some of the more pressing issues that we're facing today.
But at some point, shouldn't people like Catherine Cryer and Greta Van Susteren recognize that they're way out on a limb with very little factual support for the airtime that they're filling up? I mean, if you take the nuggets of information that they are reporting and compare that to the amount of reportage we're getting, that is rehash, recap, file footage, you remember when Geraldo convicted the parents? You know, it is so thin, and they don't acknowledge that. They act as if, you know, the breaking story. Oh, he's on a plane for Denver. Oh, my God, he's going to get off the plane soon. We better watch.
You know, we have a
crew. Here comes a perp walk.
Yeah, we have a crew at the runway in Los Angeles where, you know, he's about to get off the plane. It's like, whoa, you know, and it's just really sad that, you know, some of the more, again, the issues that, you know, the real domestic issues that affect people, truly affect people, they're just not being covered. And, you know, certainly it was funny because I remember prior to 9/11, a couple of weeks prior to 9/11, for a while, what was headlines, you know, in all of the newspapers and on the cable news networks was Gary Condit and Chandra Levy. And then suddenly 9/11 hit, you know, and you know, that changed everything in terms of, you know, the way people started looking at the media differently. But I feel that we're right back at that point again. We're right back to where we were, you know, before 9/11, where it just, it's you know, nothing but entertainment, you know, Mel Gibson, and it's, you know, sure, you know, it's great for a soundbite here and there. I understand that it's a story. But, you know, 24-hour news coverage on that, it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah. We're talking with Jason Leopold. He's live in the studio today. He's with us this entire hour. And I want to open up the phone lines because you may have a question or a comment, not necessarily related to, we usually talk only news with Jason about his work, stories about the energy crisis, about the oil companies, about Karl Rove and the Wilson investigation. But you may have larger questions about what we're talking about right now, the role of the media, how it is to be an investigative reporter, here in this new paradigm of corporate tabloid media. And so if you'd like to join us, we'd love to talk with you. 888-5-PETER-B is the number, toll free. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Also, we'll talk about Jason's book, News Junkie, which is quite a hot seller. And it's an interesting memoir. Still haven't gotten a call from Oprah?
Still have not gotten a call from Oprah. And I don't know what her deal is these days. You know, it's really funny, though. There is, Oprah gets her, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but Oprah gets her eyebrows done at a place right near my house in Los Angeles. The only reason I know that is because my wife goes there. She said, Oprah's there. I'm like, you got to bring my book next time you're there. And
I've never checked out her eyebrows, and I thought she did her show in Chicago.
You know what? Sometimes she comes here, you know, when she heads up to Santa Barbara or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been sitting out of that eyebrow place for 4 months now, and no Oprah.
Well, what if you just leave a copy?
I mean, look how perfect my eyebrows are right now.
They're looking great. What if you just left a couple of copies of News Junkie along with Glamour and In Style and In Shape and... And O.
Indeed.
Let's take a call. John's on the line from Blue Lake. Hello, John. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Oh, call me Peter, really. We save that Mr. stuff for the arresting officer and the sentencing judge.
I understand. It's my old Vietnam background here. So.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, a couple of things regarding coverage that, as a reporter, I thought somebody might follow is, number one, the amount of money being spent on the incentives for enlistment in the military forces. They say they're getting their numbers, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, but, wait. They're not getting their numbers because they've just forced about 1,200 Marines who were virtually scot-free. You know, they've been on standby duty post-deployment, and they've forced them to come back and put their uniforms on.
And indeed, I do understand that as I hit my inactive reserve right when the first Gulf War hit. But anyway, they've been hitting their numbers, and what, as a reporter, that if I had the resources, I would do is investigate the amount of monies being given to these young people in impoverished areas. That, you know, if you go up to somebody who's got the choice between working at McDonald's or, you know, getting a $30,000 signing bonus, and I'm just throwing that number out there, I think that'd be a really interesting thing to investigate. And I've heard nothing about the amount of money being spent by the military on just sign-up bonuses and re-up bonuses.
Well, there has been some reporting, and the other thing that surfaced in the past couple of weeks is that recruiters have been accused of sexual improprieties against young women they've been trying to recruit, including some charges of rape.
And I do understand that, and I have the utmost angst and you know, upsetness that one can have about that. But,
all right, John, I got to run to a break here. Thanks for your call today. Jason Leopold's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show for the entire hour. You can call us. We'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
In the box. Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Acura TL, a midsize four-door sedan. It's got a fuel-injected 3.2-liter six-cylinder engine and a well-tuned six-speed manual transmission that makes the TL fast and nimble. It's got a sporty suspension and holds the road very well. Inside, it's roomy enough to seat five in comfort, and my demo has satellite radio and a great navigation system with a display screen that's big and easy to read. The TL has been redesigned, and honestly, I prefer the previous generation. It was sleeker and more stylish to my eye. The new design seems bigger, boxier. So you should see for yourself. Test drive the Acura TL before you buy a comparable Lexus, Infiniti, Mercedes, or BMW. By the numbers, the 2006 Acura TL gets 20 miles in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $36,000.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Allen Show continues. It's 22 minutes after the hour. And our guest this hour, live in the studio, Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And if you'd like to join us to talk about how news is made, we'd love to talk with you. Lines available right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Jason, as you know, we believe that the NSA pays close attention to our program. That could be just, you know, my own myopic thinking.
I'm sure they do.
But we figure there's a guy named Benny over there with earbuds.
Right.
And the poor guy has to listen to all 3 hours every day.
Right.
And probably, you know, write up transcripts and save some audio files, send them over to Cheney's office.
Right.
And so we feel his pain. And every now and then we like
poor
to tip
Benny.
Our hat and say, Benny, you're a fine American. They've just assigned you to the wrong task. It's like dumpster diving in the wrong dumpster.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you know, I have no doubt that there have been, you know, there must be clearly some things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about in terms of monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been questions about that for quite a while.
Well, if you don't mind, let me ask if you have any indication that your email has been accessed or checked, if you believe that your phone has been tapped, or because you've been working on some very sensitive stories that clearly this administration would not like to see published.
I honestly don't think my phone is being tapped. I mean, I wish it were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would kind of, for me, it would be like, you know, what do you think you're going to find? You know, no, I don't have any indication of that. I really don't feel, you know, that that's happening. But I wouldn't be surprised if it were. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I certainly, you know, it's funny when I am working on a story. You know, there are times when I'm working on a story about, you know, the Iraq War or terrorism. And oftentimes I'm on the phone with my sources, you know, and, you know, we'll say Al-Qaeda or, you know, terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So those are key words. Those are words that obviously I would assume, you know, that's a red flag in
mm-hmm.
a sense. So in that, in that case, yes, there's, you know, if somebody's doing their job, sure, they must be hearing something.
I have a cranky old friend. This guy's in his 70s, and he likes to call up and say, attempting to kill the president is against the law. I say, John, don't do that!
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's what we call axing for trouble.
Right, exactly. And, you know, so it's, when I speak with sources, you know, we sort of laugh about it. I mean, I have, you know, nothing has, you know, I haven't had any indication
mm-hmm.
that it would explain a lot, you know, in terms of some of the things happening.
Well, let me, this at the risk of dating myself, in the 1970s, I hosted a radio show in Chicago. And this was during the time of two key investigative things going on, Watergate and COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO was J. Edgar Hoover's domestic spy and counterintelligence program.
Right.
It went beyond gathering information to provocation and actual criminal activity by federal agents in many respects. And on my show, we covered both of those rather deeply. And after a while, I started getting some of the weirdest fan mail you could ever imagine. There was, it appeared to be coming from a guy.
Right.
And he would listen to every minute of my show, like Benny does.
Right.
And he would pull out really arcane references, and then he would compile a handwritten, hand-drawn 16-page magazine every month. And he was a fan of B-level horror films.
Right.
And he appeared to have a stash of magazines, you know, all these, you know, Frankensteins and all that kind of stuff. And so he would clip this stuff. We now have clip art, but this was in the old days. He'd actually use the scissors and glue this stuff to the page. And then he would write captions to these characters, which were actual verbatim quotes from me or other people who appeared on my radio show.
Oh, man.
And this is a show that ran all night long.
Right.
And I was always stunned that he appeared to stay up all night, because he would catch things that happened at the beginning of the show and things that happened at the end of the show. And it left me with a distinct impression that I was being monitored.
Right.
And what scared the whole thing out of me after a while, the final edition of this magazine was delivered to the windshield of my car parked in front of my apartment.
Oh, my God.
And so this fan, who monitored me very carefully, had figured out where I lived.
Yeah.
Either followed me home or had other resources.
Yeah.
It's very chilling. Filed a FOIA request a couple of years later, and they claimed they investigated and claimed that they had no information
about
this,
you.
This particular episode or me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now, and I can't say it enough, this administration and its extended offices will do anything, will skirt the law to do what they want to do. And that means checking out, you know, average American citizens. I think that it's funny, there was a story earlier this week about a U.S. citizen who was deported.
And you're going to tell us about that after the break. Jason Leopold with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding anniversary.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
I am attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
By progressive politics and electric guitar.
You call yourself a Christian. I think that you're a hypocrite.
Gotta be careful, some of the rhymes with hypocrite.
Say you are a patriot.
Oh, careful, Mick. That's $350,000. How come you're so wrong? From the most recent Rolling Stones album. It's called My Sweet Neocon. Jason Leopold's here with us in the studio this hour. We're taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I had to cut you off because, as you know, commercial breaks are sometimes uncontrollable.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have to listen to them here.
Well, I was actually saying that we were discussing whether I was... where I felt if there was any monitoring, specifically as it relates to the stories I'm doing. And I was just saying that this administration, has time and again just proven that they'll just skirt the law to, fulfill their own needs.
Mm-hmm.
And their own paranoia. And that's what's really interesting is that, if I were to say, I feel like if I were to say, yes, they're monitoring me, there would be a knee-jerk response by some to say, you're just paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
But what this administration is doing, seems more about paranoia than anything else. There was a U.S. citizen who he became a citizen when he was 15 years old, and was deported, because he was a terrorist threat. But it turns out when he tried to get back in the country, he was arrested, and it turns out he was a citizen. And it just my point is that he was no threat whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
There was just, this bizarre suspicion. And I think that things just seem to be getting worse.
Yeah. But I guess because there's so many people who were at least peripherally involved in the Nixon administration,
right,
like Cheney and Rumsfeld and,
right,
and some of their cohorts, I guess I have this suspicion that they are monitoring the press, that they do have a plumber's unit out there,
yeah,
and that they would use all the techniques that Nixon used, if not more,
yeah,
to try to suppress,
right,
dissent and embarrassing,
yeah,
coverage.
Yeah, I think that they do. I absolutely think that happens. My feeling is that they would be looking at, say, the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the more, activists, inflammatory groups that are out there or ones that they deem to be, whatever threat or, the Cindy Sheehans of the world. And I absolutely think that's taking place. I think it would be, foolish to think that it's not, considering what this administration has demonstrated thus far.
So, we look at the NSA wiretaps, the NSA data mining of phone records,
right,
the report from ABC News,
yeah,
that they felt their phones were tapped,
right,
and that journalists were being monitored.
Right.
It is hard to believe that with all the data collection that has been admitted,
yeah,
that some of it is not being used for political purposes.
Sure, I think that, to get ahead... to get a head start on what journalists, who their sources are. I think that's incredibly important. They're trying to stop leaks. Some of these leaks take place because the people who are behind the leaks feel that the administration, the president, the vice president, they're breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, then we have the AIPAC leak, which was Larry Franklin trying to goad the administration into a faster track to invading Iran.
Right. And from what I understand, there's going to be an investigation into who leaked, that as well. I mean, there's
and if Bush finds him, they'll be held to pay.
Yeah, we're keeping the can of book.
All right, we've got Alice on the line from Humboldt. Good afternoon, Alice. Say hello to Jason Leopold.
Okay. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Hi, Alice.
Jason, is it?
It's Jason. That's right.
Huh?
He's live in the flesh.
I'm here in person, Alice.
I believe that the people who are now inhabit our White House are criminals. They are out to cause great harm to the people. They have got us into wars and their personal profits. The harm that they are doing is so terrible it is hard to believe. So tell me, if you think I'm seeing it worse than it is.
No. In fact, it's much worse than you see it.
Well, I'm afraid of what plans they have now for us.
Yeah, I think
I just have an awful feeling about it.
Well, I think there has been a fantastic report Larissa Alexandrovna has written extensively about, Iran, which is in the crosshairs, and Seymour Hersh, who has really, he's one of the great investigative reporters. And he has demonstrated and has shown that that's what's next. But, President Bush has said that as long as he's there, as long as he's president, there's no getting out of Iraq. In fact, as you mentioned earlier, we're putting more people in Iraq. And that just shows how bad the situation is there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a civil war. They have not wanted, to call it a civil war. The same way they did not want to use the word genocide to describe some of the other, atrocities that were happening in other countries.
Jason, before you joined us today, we were talking with David Swanson from Impeach PAC, and we were focused on the president's admission in the news conference on Monday that what he had told us about this imminent threat posed by Iraq and the need to go in as part of the post 9/11 strategy is flatly untrue. And this plays in a couple of directions. One is there should be accountability up to and including impeachment. And number two, that we now have a situation where those forces committed to Iraq are not covered by a congressional resolution.
Right.
They were not sent there to be a police force during a civil war.
Right.
And even Senator Warner, the Republican chair of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, has acknowledged just that.
Yeah. And Alice, the problem that I see right now is that the Senate and Congress, both houses, are totally ineffective. They have basically handed over all power to this president, and it really does not seem like a democracy.
Yeah. And the specter of Arlen Specter, who wants to legitimize the NSA spying program, and presumably he does not even know the dimensions of it because he's not on the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah.
They won't tell him, but he's doing the bidding of the White House, saying, well, I think we can normalize this through the FISA court.
Yeah, and, I wanted to obviously we're getting closer to the anniversary of 9/11, but this month is actually the anniversary, the five-year anniversary of George Bush receiving that presidential daily brief.
August 6th,
saying that, Al-Qaeda wanted to strike U.S. targets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that people should really remember, that was a month before, more than a month, that the warning was out there. But if you look back at the first 6 months of 9/11, security, Homeland Security, national security, that was not a priority. That was not a priority for this administration. Social Security was a priority, and this is right on the. This is what's great about public records is that it's right out there on the website. And in fact, in January of 2001, I feel like I have to remind people this time and time again. January 11th, 2001. There's a fantastic article in the New York Times, and this is obviously, Bush was just in office a short while, but he had a meeting with his Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the article basically said that, mincing words, it says, Iraq is something that the president wants to deal with.
Yeah.
And that was way before 9/11. So, You know, this is, I'm glad to hear that people don't see Iraq as being part of the global war on terror.
Yeah, it's finally sinking in.
It's, you know, it's sad that it's finally sinking in.
Alice, thanks a lot for the call today.
I'm glad you're working on it.
Thank you, Alice.
I'm glad somebody's helping.
We're doing what we can, Alice.
Yeah, we all are.
We're doing it for you.
Okay, thank you.
You take care. Xavier in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hi, Peter and Jason.
Hi,
yeah,
how are you?
One of the things that I wanted to bring up was I think there's this big gaping hole of a large market that Democrats and progressives can go after that they're not going after. I look at Rush Limbaugh and his crowd. They tend to be like working class white males. Not necessarily even white. Let's just say working class males.
It's pretty white, pretty male.
Well, yeah. But
the Rush Limbaugh audience is 73% male, and it's about 65% of those are white.
Okay, I granted that. But the market that I'm referring to would include all races, okay?
All right.
Okay, the point I'm trying to make is that working class men, a lot of times, you know, I've heard us described of as being privileged, and a lot of what I see is men haven't really gotten together and figured out what their issues are, and they'll just kind of generically, you know, blame women for a lot of things that really they don't deserve to be blamed for. But there are some very real things that, you know, like Peter, yesterday you mentioned about an attack, and there were so many women and children that were killed. And I think that's one issue where, you know, men hear that and they automatically, it kind of sinks into their subconscious that they're somehow more cannon fodder than women. And is my feeling, I hear about that too, and I want to protect women, you know, more so than myself. But I think what that does to men is it causes us to feel, it's the same as like a black person who walks through society and they get accused of constantly being accused of this or that, and it affects their psyche and it affects the way they relate to the world. And I think that's what's happening to men. And I think if, as progressives, we included men and stopped making them into the perpetrator so often, I think that we could, you know, like, whenever we have, like, Cindy, she and her group, they're going to have women's issues. They should have men's issues, too, and we should start the conversation about that. What do you think about what I'm just saying there?
Well, I think I grasp it here, Xavier. There's a whole lot of wild testosterone in the rhetoric and the mindset of the Bush administration. And I think what I was referring to the other day is the way it has filtered down as humiliation, including sexual humiliation, as a weapon that has been widely used in Iraq.
But the women have done that to men, too, in there. You know, Lindy England, she did that to male prisoners. So women have testosterone. That's my point, is demonizing testosterone.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
See, but Lindy England is such a puppet. I mean, she was under the control of Charlie Grainer, her boyfriend, the father of this baby she had. I mean, that's a whole bizarre kind of love triangle, and we'll have to ask New Order to do an updated song on that.
But we see it's the owning class white men that are doing that, and then there's the working class men who are not necessarily privileged, and they get accused of being perpetrators a lot of times, and I think we need to include them. That's my whole point.
Okay. Well, let's see if other people have a comment on that. Maybe Sam Keen will call in from the drum circle and fill us in. Okay. Thanks a lot, Xavier. Good to talk to you. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment with Jason Leopold. If you want to join us, 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And you've got it, the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in reality radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
Monterey 9/11 Truth, sponsored by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, will be presenting 9/11 Press for the Truth this Wednesday, September 6th at 6:45 p.m. at the Monterey Senior Center on the corner of Lighthouse and Dickman in New Monterey. Admission is free. Press for the Truth tells the story of six of the 9/11 families, their struggle for an official investigation, and the utter failure of that investigation to uncover the truth. It will be shown at 6:45 p.m. on Wednesday the 6th at the Monterey Senior Center. There is no charge.
Well, as you might expect, pretty quiet for a holiday. We have Highway 152 west of Fifield Road, a crash. Couple of cars blocking the left-hand lane. Expect delays as you approach the scene. For Hollister, Fairview Road, at McCloskey Road, what we have is a crash with a couple of cars there. A vehicle went through a fence, actually, off the roadway and is now stuck in the mud. They've got a tow truck headed out to that. For Salinas, northbound 101 at White Road, what we have is a kite that's caught up in the phone lines directly above the roadway. It's just a visual hazard, but apparently CHP saying cars are hitting their brakes as they approach the scene, and it is causing a potential hazard, so just be aware of that. Both directions of Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains are currently checking in, stalling accident-free. Highway 68, nothing to tell you about up there. This is brought to you by Hyundai. Are you ready for exceptional safety, space, and savings? Then you're ready for the Hyundai Challenge. Come in and test drive today at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with journalist Jason Leopold. He writes for truthout.org, and he's written the memoir News Junkie, which is out and about in hardcover at your local independent bookstore.
Actually, it's soft cover.
It's in soft cover?
Yeah. A little bit of a sore point, but it is.
Okay, I was trying to upgrade you.
Yeah. I like to think of it as hardcover.
Well, it's in its first edition.
It is.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about News Junkie. And then, Eugenia, we're going to get to your call, so don't go away. I read the book, and I was so struck by how honest you've been, how you talked about your own problems with drugs.
Yeah.
And you talked about a little episode from your past when you were, to feed your drug needs, you
right.
were stealing CDs from your
yeah.
employer in New York.
It was a very strange, you know, people may, when they read it, or hopefully if they, you know, read the book, it's sort of, I wasn't robbing a bank,
mm-hmm.
you know, literally, but that's what it was like. It was this bizarre thing, CDs,
yeah.
you know, so.
Well, I know people who have jobs like mine who get free books from publishers
yeah.
and actually turn them into cash. I've never done that, but I've
right.
heard it can be done.
Right. Oh, yeah. It
and
absolutely
I used
be
to be a DJ, and we used to get tons of promo copies
exactly.
of albums and CDs, and some of those may have wound up in a used record shop.
Yeah. There's tons of used record shops that you know, have that. When I put that in my book, you know, first of all, let me just say that I really appreciate the support and what you've the fact that you've read my book and the support that you've given me.
I think
well,
you were
as your excellent producer Matt, by the way.
I think you were a little afraid when I read the book that
I was.
Wow, I don't want to talk to this guy again.
I was completely like I don't think I slept. And that's what I was sort of waiting for, was the you know, what would be the response
mm-hmm.
to this book, because you know it is brutally honest to the point where it makes me uncomfortable
yeah.
having to look in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it's certainly not a book where I feel that somebody says, "Hey, that's, you know, great. Wow, that's
cool, man.
You're so, that's great that you're, you know, this you know, convicted felon." Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of the secret.
Yeah.
And but I really felt that my personal life informed my professional life, and so I wanted to give a real behind the scenes look at journalism, and I think I did a really good job at that. You know, mainstream journalism and independent journalism, mm-hmm. and at the same time...
Yeah, you were working for a little company called Dow Jones.
Dow Jones and the L.A. Times, mm-hmm. a small little newspaper out in L.A.
Right.
And, you know, I really wanted to show what you know, what happens behind the scenes, but also beyond the byline, you know, to really show that, you know, I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's very difficult for, you know, consumers of news to see, you know, what... You know, who that person is. You know, how would they react, you know, after, you know, knowing that I am who I am after and reading a story of mine now?
It was painful, too, to see the personal attacks that were launched against you after you reported the Roe indictment. And we're still waiting for all the truth to come out on that.
Right.
But people used right-wing personal attack tactics to try to undermine your work.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think what was most disturbing to me was that it came from a side of the, you know, if you want to call it the left, it came from that side, and what they were doing was no different than what the right had been doing to Joseph Wilson for 2 years, this person who I was writing about, no different. And, you know, when I look at it, when I read some of this stuff, it really boils down to... it's like being right back in high school, because it's so, like I said to you, you know, on a show before, it's so difficult to imagine a grown man or woman sitting behind a keyboard typing these, you know, these
flames,
and then giving their children dinner. You know, I mean, it just seems so bizarre to me. But it's, you know, again, in terms of journalism. You know, I've written more than 2,000 news stories, and especially as it relates to the energy crisis. And, you know, as any human being, you know, there are some things that aren't going to pan out, but I don't think that makes the story wrong. And for those that are calling...
Well, and let's just compare this for a moment. We started off half an hour ago talking about the flimsy reporting going on in this JonBenet Ramsey case.
Right.
We have this guy who's clearly unstable, who can't even, you know, get out of the way of his own alibi, who's claiming he was there when JonBenet died, presumably the cause of her death.
Right.
And, you know, the media is just passing this along without any basic standards of journalism.
Yeah,
and you know what you've done is painstakingly researched, sourced, checked by Mark Ash, your boss at Truthout, and you know, I understand that the indictment has not been affirmed, but that doesn't mean, at least to date, that you were misled or that your sources were wrong.
Right. And thank you for saying that, because it doesn't. And, you know, I think that people need to understand that, you know, that I'm not out there just, you know, making things up out of whole cloth. Like you said, this went through, you know, an editorial process. It went through the chain of command through various editors. And in addition to that, you know, there were questions. Should we run with this story? Should we go out with the story? We felt that, A, there was a possibility that other news organizations may, you know, come out with the story. But in addition to that, you know, what if it just doesn't come out at all? What if they try to suppress it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we felt that we're dealing with a very secretive administration. And in terms of, you know, this story, how it compares to my entire body of work, I think that, you know, I've reported a lot of, you know, a lot of great things.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call now. We've got Eugenia in Prunedale. You're on the air, Eugenia. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I heard on the news today that Israel had just purchased two more nuclear submarines. I was surprised that they even had a submarine.
Who purchased a submarine?
Israel.
Hmm. I believe Israel does have submarines.
They do.
Yeah.
In addition to their others, to show Iran that they meant business or something. I don't know. But the thing of it is...
Who did they buy it from? You know, there aren't...
That's what I want to know.
I don't think Hyundai makes a nuclear sub.
No, probably from us, and they probably didn't pay much for it. And we're probably stocking them with God knows what. That's the funnel. You know, I've been concerned about this for a long time.
I know you have, Eugenia.
Before everybody else was, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been watching this progression all the way back to I mean, this starts out, they just gobbled everything up along the way, a piece at a time, and I just happened to be watching it. I got kicked out of the middle class into poverty and had to figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So my paradigm wasn't the norm anymore. I used to think this was a great world and everything was good and we were good, like so many people.
Yeah.
And, hey, we just got to, we have got to quit looking back at 9/11, and here we're going to have a great big splash again here in September, which is going to block all the news, okay? We're not going to be looking at anything going on as far as Iran or anything else. These guys are absolute geniuses at creating diversions.
Well, you're right about that.
They are absolutely, I'm impressed, and there's not too much that impresses me anymore.
Yeah. Sadly, people still fall for it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the liquid bomber thing is starting to unravel. People are seeing that it was not nearly the threat that it was made out to be. But we are still banning liquids on domestic flights, which, of course, is nonsensical, but appears to be part of a re-election strategy. Eugenia, we're out of time. Thanks for your call today. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
And Jason Leopold, again, is doing a book signing and reading and talk tonight at Corte Madera's Book Passage in Marin County, tomorrow night at Sonoma State University in Sonoma at the Project Censored location. And Jason, it's a real pleasure to meet you. Thank you, Peter, making the trip here today.
Thanks for everything.
All right. We'll talk again next week.
Looking forward to it.
Jason Leopold from truthout.org, and pick up his book, a memoir called News Junkie. You'll find it powerful reading. Coming up next, we head into the free speech zone. We take your calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a line, 888-5-PETER-B, toll free, 888.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Maligano. Sunny skies and a gentle breeze, a perfect finale to what for some was nothing but a very wet Labor Day weekend. In Detroit, lighthearted banter rose up from the thousands of marchers in the traditional Labor Day parade. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney, though, tried to put things in perspective.
Our members feel that people are working harder, making less. We're in a healthcare crisis that's deeper than any of us ever imagined.
Under the same sun, the same blue sky, CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller says President Bush put a bit of a different spin on it in Maryland.
In remarks that ran only 10 minutes instead of the scheduled half hour, President Bush told a Seafarers Union audience that the U.S. is still the most powerful economy in the world. To keep it that way, he said pro-growth policies must remain in place that include lessening dependence on foreign oil and making permanent the tax cuts enacted on his watch.
Speaking of oil, it dropped to below $69 a barrel today on world markets, but still high enough to turn healthy profits even for marginal operations. Natural gas is experiencing a boom. It costs a lot to bore down 4,000 feet to find natural gas trapped in layers of prehistoric sediment. But soaring prices and demand, along with modern technology, are finally making long-capped wells across much of the Appalachian Basin profitable again. The last 2 days in Iraq, especially violent. 6 U.S. soldiers have been killed since yesterday, 1 non-combat related, 2 in Anbar province, 3 by 3 separate roadside bombs. The civilian toll has been bloody, too. Today, word of the discovery of the bodies of 33 men throughout Baghdad, all shot and some with their hands bound.
Just dislike between different groups, the political ramifications of that, economic difficulties brought about by widespread unemployment, lack of power, etc. So all these things must be addressed if we're going to be successful in beating this problem and stemming off any possibility of Iraq sliding into a civil war.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant. The shuttle Atlantis is back up for a launch. The weather's 80% for a go Wednesday, with Mission Control holding 70% Thursday, 70% Friday in their pockets. Mike Leinbach is NASA launch director and is pleased they've moved the time to just after noon local time.
I feel better that we're launching around noontime than around 4:30 in the afternoon.